Good morning. How do you know? Do you know? Okay, how about this? I'm going to ask you to stand one more time because we're going to be reading the Bible. This is the Word of God. We're in John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69, and it's a beautiful section that we're going to be looking at this morning as we kick off this new series. The Scripture says this, "Therefore many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, 'Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, 'For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father.' As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you not want to go away also, do you?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, into this house, into this assembly of believers. And Lord, we come as always with purpose. We come, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. We come to sit at the feet once again of the Lord Jesus, to learn, to try to understand who you are and who we are in your eyes, who you've created us to be and made us to be. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes this morning that we might understand once again the things that are written within the Scriptures. Pray, Lord, that you would touch our ears. We could hear you speaking into our lives as we journey each day in this wonderful life that you've given us, Lord. So we're here today, and we know that you are with us, and we praise you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord, and all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
And you all may be seated. Did we have fun last Sunday? How many people was here last Sunday? Was that like so cool to be with Rabbi Feldman and Shuva? And we're so thankful for 10 years of partnering with the Messianic Jewish congregation. So if you missed last Sunday, you're bummed. We had an absolute blast. It was a fun time of dancing, Jewish dancing, and singing songs Jew and Gentile and talking about the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of God, the redemption of man that comes from the Jewish people into all nations, as the banners on the walls so beautifully say. So we had a blast. And actually, yesterday, a bunch of us was at Shuva's Purim service, which was absolutely cool. And so a good time last week. Did you all notice, Pastor Graham, where are you? There he is. Would you stand? Isn't it good to have Pastor Graham back in our midst once again? Good. We love you. We've been praying for you. Pastor Graham is such a wonderful pastor in our church, and if you don't know, but he was visiting a wonderful lady in our church who had fallen. And so Pastor Graham, serving the Lord, visited our wonderful sister, and on the way out, he falls and breaks his elbow. And so he went through pretty radical surgery, and I swear that looks like a brass knuckles now you've got. That is an amazing device. It's his first Sunday back. Very grateful for you. You know, hey, guys, you got to pray for the pastors of the church. We're just getting hammered. We are just getting hammered. And, my father-in-law passed away on Wednesday. The whole family, we were all at the hospital with him. Brutal day. Got to witness the sermon that I gave the week before on the anchor of our soul, a sure and strong foundation of Christ and this hope that we have. And I was on my father-in-law went on to eternity, and we were there with him, and his faith in Christ and just carried our whole family at that time. Powerful, and so we just thank you guys for your prayers for us, and pray for me today because I gotta. I could not give up this sermon. I just want to preach this morning. I'm so excited about where we're heading, where we're going. Good to hear about Mary Beth as well. And so good things happening in our church. The Lord is here. And tough things. That's just life. That's just life. So a new series. How do you know? Do you remember the first time your faith was ever tested? Can you think back to the first time that your faith was ever tested? So my spiritual journey, I accepted Christ when I was 20 and came to a very strong conviction of Jesus right around when I was 20 years of age. And I remember, brand new in my faith, I was in a vehicle with my older brother, Kenny. I love my brother, Kenny. He's a wonderful brother. He's 3 years older than me. And Kenny had found out that his little brother had found religion, you know. And we were actually driving in a truck up to Mammoth to go skiing. We were meeting people up there. We're Big Bearians, so we grew up snow skiing, so that I can do that as easily as breathing. So I just grew up. And we're up, and my brother begins, you know, asking me about my faith. And my brother, you know, he begins challenging my faith. And he says, you know, Frankie, he goes, the Gospel of John wasn't written by the Apostle John. And I'm in the car and I'm like, who told you that? Has anyone ever heard that before? Has anyone ever heard of historical critical analysis? There's your word today. You're at lunch. Hey, how was church? We talked about historical critical analysis. That's or the Jesus seminars. Guys, remember the Jesus seminars of the early 80s? A group of liberal theologians get together and they take the Gospels and they say, well, if it was recorded in John but not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, throw it out. Take out all miracles because clearly miracles don't happen. Do you all know that? So anything in the Gospels that has miracles, throw it out. If all the Gospels doesn't record it, throw it out. If we don't like this, throw it out. We don't like that, throw it out. And pretty soon you've got a few pages left. And it's called the Jesus seminars. And they were the ones that were like, oh, it just, it's called fake news. How's that? Is that fake news? And my brother, who went to a liberal university, took a religions class. And in the religions class, he was told that religions class did more to hurt him than anything else in his own spiritual journey. And I don't know anything about historical critical analysis. I don't know anything about the Jesus seminars of the 90s and the liberal theologian. I knew nothing, but I had read the Bible. I'd read the Gospels. And in John chapter 24, the writer of the book says, I was on the beach with Jesus and Peter. In John chapter 24, I was there. The writer says, I was there. I was present. He was with Christ, right? In 1 John, the epistle, he says, what I beheld with my eyes, what I touched with my hands. Clearly, the writer is John. And I pushed back with my brother. I go, Ken, I don't know what you're talking about, but the Gospel of John, he says he was there. Where are you coming from? First, I still remember this. Brand new believer in Christ, getting pushback. The Bible is inaccurate, and thus your faith is compromised. And I pushed back. Do you remember the first time that your faith was ever challenged? Do you know that my faith has been challenged many times? Do you remember the last time your faith was challenged? Our faith has been challenged and will be challenged again. Is that okay? Of course it is. Of course it is. We're starting a brand new series called How Do You Know? How do you know what you believe is true? We just ended a series called Shipwreck, and we were talking about our faith. The Apostle Paul gives this beautiful metaphor that our faith is like a ship, and some people's faith has been shipwrecked. and we talked about things you got to do to keep your faith from shipwreck this year. And we thought, just to bleed in beautifully from that series into this series, let's do a series heading in between now through Easter called How Do You Know? A year ago this time, we did a series called What's the Difference? Does anybody remember that series? What we did is we took the New Testament Gospel of Jesus and we compared what is the difference between the New Testament Gospel of Jesus, the message of Jesus, and compared it to other religions. Do y'all remember that series? Great series. Had an absolute blast. Basically the conclusion is they're all different. We talked about the differences of religious thought, but we didn't say, well, which one's true? Or if any of them are true. What we want to do here in this series coming up is talk about this stuff. So, do y'all get one of these? This is where we're heading, where we're going this series, and I'm pretty excited about it. If you look on the back of it, our verse is going to be, Peter says he knows. How did Peter know? We believe, we've come to know, man. I like that. Where we're heading is, today we're going to be introducing this series, How Do You Know What You Believe Is True? Next week, we're going to talk about how do you know that God even exists? The next week, how do you know that Christianity is true? And then April 2nd, we're going to do how do you know that the Bible is reliable, part one. How do you know that the Bible is reliable, part two. And then April 16th is Resurrection Sunday, right? And we're going to talk about how do we even know the resurrection really happened. And so we're going to be journeying into this series. How do you know? And our goal is, in doing this, is that your faith will be strengthened, that you'll look at this and go, dang, that's good. I'm hoping if someone was to ask you what you believe, you'd probably tell them, right? If they were to ask you, well, how do you know what you believe is true? What would you say? By the end of this series, you will have a lot to say. We're gonna be philosophical in many ways, and we're rolling into really good stuff. So, does this sound like a cool series? Are you guys excited about this? Yeah. I'm kind of excited about it. I think it's gonna be awesome. So we're gonna have some fun. So, do you remember when your faith was first tested? Do you remember when your faith was last tested? The way I want to kick off this series is just to spend some time. If we could get the Apostle Peter here. And just study him. Because the Apostle Peter was on a spiritual journey just like we all are. And the Apostle Peter comes to this place, this beautiful place in the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter where people are bailing on Jesus because they didn't like his teaching. And Jesus looks at him and he says, you know, hey, Peter, are you leaving? And Peter says, where would I go? Only you have words of eternal life. He says, I believe. I've come to know that you're the Holy One of God. He comes to a place in his journey where he just has a faith of conviction. Well, how did he get there? How did that happen? If you're going to take notes this morning, I want you to just take this first note. Are you ready? And I want you just to write this down and just discuss this. It's beautiful. Go out to lunch today. Go in your growth groups this week. If you are not in a growth group, this is a good time to start one, man. Write this down. Faith and conviction encompasses a personal spiritual journey involving an intellectual and experiential process. All of us on our spiritual journeys have traveled this road. Let me say this again. Faith and conviction encompasses a personal spiritual journey involving an intellectual and experiential process. For Peter, he went through this. By the end of John chapter 6, Peter had arrived at this place in his life, a place where he says, I believe. He says, I know. It's conviction. It's no longer a faith of convenience, it's conviction. Have you landed there? Is your faith a faith of conviction? Can you say in your spiritual journey, I believe and I know I'm there? All of us in this room have our own spiritual journeys of where we've been traveling. And we're still on our spiritual journeys, right? That's why you're here today. I'm still on my spiritual journey, learning and growing and walking. Jesus is teaching me things all the time. Have you come to a place in your faith where it's a place of conviction? This morning, I just want to try to get into the mind of Peter a little bit and try do our best to try to get into the mind of who is Peter and what was the events that happened that brought Peter to this place of saying these beautiful words. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 this morning. And the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter is a great chapter. The 6th chapter of John, it basically speaks of two individually different days in the ministry of Jesus that are huge days, okay? Big days, awesome days. The first part of John 6, Jesus does his most public miracle. Does anyone know what his most public miracle was besides his own resurrection? Does anyone know what it was? Well, he just fed just a few people with a little bit of fish and bread. How many people did he feed? 5,000 men. So if you had women and children, he just did a public miracle. The people went ballistic on the hillsides of Galilee, right on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus feeds 5,000 men. That's the first part of John chapter 6. Jesus, they want to make him king by force. Jesus sends away his disciples in a boat, go on a boat, get out of here, and he sends away a crowd. Jesus spends the whole night in prayer, and does anyone know what Jesus did in the middle of the night? He decided to go visit his disciples by walking on the water. It's all in John 6. Not bad. The next morning, the second part, that's day one. Day two, this day begins with the crowds that Jesus fed seeking him out. And they wake up and they're like, where is he? And they, you know, think about it. You've got 15,000 people surrounding this miracle man from Galilee. They've got a perimeter around him. And he's up on the hill praying, and all of a sudden he's gone. And they're like, how did he get through us? The boat's still here. Where is he? They go to Capernaum, which is the main city, and there he is. And the day two begins with them saying, how'd you get here? He walked on water. They didn't see it. And then a discussion breaks out between Jesus and the crowds that gets contentious, that gets, it's a beautiful teaching by Jesus, and we're just going to kind of look at it. And so as we walk through this, I want you to think of there's three characters in this. You've got Jesus, you've got the crowds that just fed off of his miracle the day before, and you've got the 12 apostles that are just participant, they're just watching this unfold, okay? Jesus gets into a very deep intellectual, spiritual conversation and an argument. Do you know what the argument breaks out over? Food. The argument breaks out over food. Right? That's kind of interesting. What we're about to read is a heated discussion that starts out. Have you ever gotten an argument over food? I don't want to go there, right? I don't like that food. Or whatever. Breaks out over food. We're going to journey with Peter as we just kind of watch this unfold. Are you ready? It's in John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 22. Starts off with this. We'll start in verse 24. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats, came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Right? Jesus answered and said to them, I'm not telling you. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Jesus just jumps right in. He says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Jesus isn't flattered by the crowds or the attention. He sees and he knows their hearts. "You're not looking to me because of the sign, but you ate," right? Almost like, "You want me to feed you breakfast this morning? That was lunch. You want breakfast now," right? Jesus uses this opportunity on day two of John 6 to teach deeper things into the people's lives. Instead of just looking for food externally, Jesus begins speaking about eternal things. Jesus tells them to get their eyes off of material food to eternal food, off of material food to eternal food. Jesus doesn't command them to stop working for a living, but their main quest should be not for food that readily perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life. He's moving them from the temporal world to the eternal world, and Jesus does this all the time. Don't pursue temporal food, pursue eternal food. Isn't that a great conversation? In the context of him feeding them and that great miracle, not bad, right? Peter's watching, John's watching, the apostles are watching, and it's going good so far, wouldn't you say? So Jesus says to them, "Therefore they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" So Jesus says, "You need to work for our eternal food." And they're like, "Well, what is the work of God that we need to do this?" The topic is on food, right? What is the formula? What are the things, what's the religious formula we need to do to work for eternal things? Pray 5 times a day toward Mecca, right? What is the religious formula is what they're asking. What things do I have to do to get eternal food? And Jesus says something beautiful. He says, "The work of God is to believe on him whom the Father has sent." Write that down. This is it. Write this down. Our work is to not work, but to believe in the work of Jesus. Our work is to not work, but to believe on the work of Jesus. Isn't that nice? That's liberating, people. That's what's different. A year ago, what's the difference between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and every other religion? Every other religion, you work your way to God through moral effort, appeasing God that God might let you in his kingdom. Every religion works their way toward God through moral effort. It's my work. How good am I? The gospel is God and his love and mercy and grace has worked his way to you through his son Jesus. The work that he did on the cross, he did for us because we can't pay our sins. Somebody's got to pay for our sins. Either you're going to pay for them yourself or you're going to let somebody else. Jesus came. The work of God. What is the work of God we're supposed to do? Real simple, believe on me. Okay? Isn't that nice? It's Christian. Dude, our work is belief. We accept what God has done for us. I love this. He says, "I who fed you with the miracle of yesterday, I am sent from God, and your work is to believe in me." That's real simple, right? Peter, they're all watching this. And honestly, if the chapter would have ended here, it would have been so wonderful. Oh, that's good teaching. I wish the crowd would have said, "Wow, man, that's heavy. Whew. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for sharing that. Let me go think on this." If the chapter would have ended here, it would have been so sweet. But it doesn't. It says, "So they said to him, 'What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Can you believe they asked that? I wish I could have nonverbals, because I can't picture, I could see, I'd love to know what Jesus' response was. Like, what? I wish I could get it. I just fed you yesterday, and you want another miracle today. You want another sign. I wish I could see his nonverbal, but I bet he gets frustrated. And they're relating, you know, Moses gave us manna. I think they're saying, dude, we want manna this morning. You know, Moses gave manna, and if you're the prophet that Moses talked about, then, dude, we'd love some manna today. God's, it was heavenly food. This whole conversation's about food, okay? Temporal and eternal food. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it's not Moses who's given you bread out of heaven, but my Father who gave you true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, Lord, always give us this bread, right? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say that to you, that you have seen me, that you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he gives to me, I lose nothing, but I will raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. How's that? You could just study that text all week. That is a deep pool. You could swim, you could grab an oxygen tank and go real deep with that. That's amazing teaching. But I think Jesus, as he said these words, is frustrated. Moses gave you heavenly food? He didn't give you heavenly food. My Father gave you the heavenly food. Moses was the agent. My Father's the one that gave you heavenly food. By the way, I am heavenly food. I existed with the Father. I am the bread of life. It's me. Did they like this teaching? No. First of all, it wasn't Moses, it's my Father. And the second of all, the heavenly food that you're thinking about, I'm it. I'm the bread of life. And they begin grumbling, people. They're angry. What do you mean to say that you came down out of heaven? Read the text. We know your mom and your dad. How dare you say that you're eternal or you pre-existed? Who do you say in Jesus? Who do you think you are? We know Mary and Joseph. You saying that you came down from heaven. Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus teaches that he pre-existed always, and they don't like this teaching. And they begin pushing back on him hard. And he begins pushing back on them hard. He says, I am the bread. I am eternal. I have pre-existed. And he says, unless you eat of the heavenly bread, you will die. Jesus says, my body, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you will not have eternal life. Push back, push back, push back, push back, deeper, deeper. Hey, is it a difficult teaching for Jesus to say, unless you eat my body and unless you drink my blood, you have no place in me? Is that a difficult teaching? Anyone? Can you imagine these guys sitting in Capernaum listening to this? Do you think they had a problem? Do you think they completely understood what he was talking about? No. They actually read the text. This is a difficult statement. Who can accept this? I don't think Peter understood completely. Man, did I hear him? James, did he say we have to eat his body and drink his blood? That's what I heard. I heard it too. That's a difficult teaching. Amen. Thousands are like, we're out. Gone. Dude, I can't do this anymore. Amazing that you fed the 5,000. That was cool. Jesus, when you raised that dude from the dead, that was amazing. Jesus, I saw you heal that woman of leprosy. That was amazing. Jesus, I've heard your teachings on the Mount of Beatitudes. That was amazing. Can you imagine the crowds going, hey, man, we acknowledge that you are doing some amazing stuff, but we just can't accept this and we're out of here. Have you met disciples of Jesus who've done that? I'm done. That was the crowd's journey. That's their journey of trying to wrestle with Christ. The multitudes in Capernaum, the multitudes in Bethsaida and Chorazin leave. Jesus in John chapter 6 begins the ministry. He's got 5,000 followers. By the end of John 6, he's down to 12. He just emptied the place. In the midst of everyone bailing, Jesus says, is my teaching difficult? He says, I'm giving you spiritual words. It's symbolism. In the night in which Jesus died, he was with the Passover meal in Jerusalem, and he takes a piece of bread, and he tells his disciples, maybe a year and a half after this encounter, this is my body broken for you. Did Jesus cut off his arm and say, eat my flesh? Answer? No. He took a piece of bread, people. And there's mystical properties. I believe this. But clearly, and he says, the words I've given you are spiritual. But if you can't handle this, are you going to be able to handle me ascending back to where I've come from? Right? It's a great teaching. In the midst of it all, people are bailing, and Jesus looks at Peter, and Peter, hey, are you leaving? And Peter says these words, where would I go? If I walk away from you, who in the heck would I follow? Only you have words of eternal life. That's intellectual, right? Man, I'm listening to what you're saying, Jesus. There's no one like you. He says, we believe, and Peter just represents them all, and he does such a good job. We believe, and not only that, we've come to know that you're the Holy One of God. I wish I could have asked Peter, well, how do you know? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, how do you know? And Peter, I think, could have given us an argument for how he knew. Hey, how do you know, Peter? How do you know? How do you know? Peter says, we believe, we've come to know. Well, how do you know? What would Peter have said? Maybe the little walking on water thing kind of convinced him. In Peter's own little journey of intellectual and experiential journey, he walked on water the night before. I mean, I think Peter is going, I don't get what you just said, and it's actually a little gross, Jesus, but I just know. I walked on water last night. Peter could give his defense. If someone was to ask you, how do you know? What would you say? What's your spiritual journey? Peter's on his spiritual journey that gets him to a place of public confession. And yet, friends, Peter fumbles. We know this. Read the rest of the text. There are days he denies the Lord. He's on his spiritual journey just like all of us are. But at that beautiful moment, he says, I just believe in its conviction. I know you're the one. Do you remember when that happened to you? Do you remember when that happened to you? When you said, I know. Maybe you're almost there. Praise God. You know, I love these. I found this a while ago. It's called spiritual journey, a personal guide. I like this. There's actually, it's right by, you could grab one of these. Take one of these home. They're in your seat right in front of you. And I like this because it, you know, it just kind of gives a sequence of a person's spiritual journey. I'm not interested, or I'm curiously searching, or I'm searching assertively. I accept Christ. I'm experiencing new life. This person's growing in community. They're living missionally for Christ. Somewhere is on this is you. Where are you? Where are you? What's your journey looking like? Which one are you? How did you get there? What was it like? Praise God for whatever your journey is. The purpose of this church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. I'm hoping by the end of this series that you will be more confidently being able to say, I know. I hope that if wherever you are in your spiritual journey, that through the, don't miss these weeks, invite people. This can be a great series. How do we even know God exists? That's a good question. That's next week, right? What? Well, why is Christianity? I mean, we're going to have an absolute blast between now cruising into Easter. The series is called How Do You Know? And you know the funny thing is, every person in here gives their own individual answer to that question. My spiritual journey has been uniquely mine. Your spiritual journey is uniquely yours. Peter's spiritual journey was uniquely Peter's. Has anyone in here walked on water? Did you know that Moses' spiritual journey was uniquely Moses's? Has anyone ever seen a burning bush that never stops burning? That a voice comes out of? Anyone? Every person's spiritual journey is unique. And we're all on it. And the beautiful text in here is Jesus says, hey man, the reason that you're coming to me is because my Father's drawing you to me. Every time that we connect with God, we find out all along that God was the one connecting and drawing us. There's a real beautiful spiritual thing that happens as we walk toward Christ. This faith that you and I have is awesome. The series is called How Do You Know? I'd love for you to get in a growth group this week and discuss this one and listen to each other. And as we go from week to week to week, we're going to have an absolute blast in this series. Are you guys excited for this? It's not bad, huh? It's going to be awesome. Intellectually, how do you know? Experientially, how do you know? Do you know? Wow. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up, and there's a beautiful song called Give Us Faith. And there's so many times when in the Gospels the people would say, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Hey, that's beautiful. I think we've all prayed that prayer as well. Lord, we just consecrate this series to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We, God, here at your church, are going to walk in a very cool path that I think a lot of people in this city would love to journey with us. As we begin to ask deep questions of how do we even know what we believe is true or real? How do we know? Intellectually, experientially. How do we come to this place? Lord, I pray, Lord, that through this, Lord, that you would speak deep into all of our hearts here in this room. As we honestly ask these questions deep within our soul, God, that your Spirit would speak to us. We pray, Lord, for our journeys. We thank you, God, for our spiritual journeys that brings us to this place of today. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to manifest yourself to us, to show yourself to us, to reveal yourself to us, to illuminate yourself to us. God, we ask that you would continue to give us inspiration and revelation of who you are. We pray, Lord God, for truth, for light, for understanding. Walk with us, Lord, we pray. We consecrate ourselves to you this morning. We'll walk this journey. We ask that you walk it with us. Help us to understand. We pray this for your glory and for your kingdom. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Would you stand as we sing this last song? Give us faith.